having communion. So we wanted to talk more about what that truly means to be in communion, not only with the Lord, but what the words mean and what the scripture tells us about communion. So today we're going to come back in and we're going to continue on in chapter 3. We're going to be in verses 12 through 14. Now look, I told you a few weeks ago, we're entering into that part of the letter of Philippians that Paul has written to the church at Philippi, where we're getting into the verses that are familiar. These are the ones where people have probably heard or know these and quote these verses. So today, this just simply titled Press On. You know, I know that we're going to talk about this over the next few minutes and stuff, but just see how many times this week and next week Paul just encourages us, not only encourages us, but he exhorts us. Exhortation is encouragement for us to move, all right? And so as he exhorts us today through scripture, I hope that the Lord speaks to our hearts and to our minds, because look, it is that time of the year. We're sending our teachers back to school. We're sending our kids back to school. We're sending our grandkids back to school. And the routine of life, which we know for 9 months out of the year or 8.5 months out of the year, is going back in. So when that goes back in into our lives, there are hardships. There are difficulties. Some teachers in this place probably already have picked the kids out that are going to be the death of them this year, right? Already? All right? They've already found who those are. Your kids may be the death of that teacher, and you already know that as well, right? Our grandkids. So we're entering into this time and season where we move back into routine, but it's also a time when our faith and our life can become stagnant because routine does that to us. And then also it's a time where stress builds up because we can't see the end. Some people are starting tomorrow or already have started this past week into something that they're already going, fall break is this time of the year. I got to make it for 6, 8, 10, 12 weeks, or I've got to do this or I've got to do that. Some students have already gotten some of the things that they have to do, and they realize that over the next 10, 12 weeks, I've got all this stuff that I have to accomplish. Things build up in our life. They cause us stress. They also distract us from who we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to be doing in Christ Jesus. So Paul's going to exhort us this morning, and this is what he says to us in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 and the first part of verse 13. He says, "Not that I've already obtained it or already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that which is also laid hold of by Christ. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet." The thing that I want you to see first and foremost for every single one of us in this place today is that we're not finished. We are not done. Our life is not complete. In fact, this is what he says. He makes three exhortations to us right here in this verse and a half of scripture. He says that we are not in possession of that which we are to attain. Are any of us in heaven yet? Have we received the glory that God has promised to us? If we are followers of Jesus Christ, then we know what he says is truth. 1 John says, there is no darkness in him at all. He is perfect light. In fact, that is one of the things that describes who God is that he is light. In fact, there is no sun in heaven because he lights up. His glory lights up heaven. So we know this to be truth. If we know this to be truth, then we know that in the end that there's no pain, that there's no suffering, that these are not even the bodies that we're going to have once we're in heaven, then if we know all this to come to fruition, we've not achieved that yet, right? Because I got up this morning and I looked and I went, whoa, oh, wow. Yeah, I'm a day older, all right? The sun has gone around one more time and it's come back around to catch up with me again. And so, you know, there was an old rock song that says that we're one day older, but we're one day closer to death. And in the worldliness of our flesh, we see that as the end. But in the spirituality of our righteousness with God, we see that as glory. So we are one day closer to being with the Father forever. And he says to us, we have not received that yet. We are not in possession of it. And so he goes on to say, not only have we not obtained it, we have not already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that which was laid hold of by Christ. Stop right there for a second. You and I, because of this, we're incomplete. He just said a few verses earlier that we're to have fellowship with the Lord, fellowship in his death, in his resurrection. So we die, but then we are brought back to life. Our soul does not pass. It just moves from this place to our spiritual home in heaven with the Father. So as this passes by, as this grows older, and as we look in the mirror and we see that we are being transformed into an image that we're not familiar with, we need to realize that we're going to be transformed into the image that God created us to be in heaven. And so when we get there, there's not only the glory of that, there's a completeness of that. We will be made whole. We will be, the journey for us at that point will have moved and transformed into our home. This is not our home. We are called sojourners here. We're just passing through. We're pilgrims. We are in a foreign land because our home is with the Father in heaven. The moment that we accept him into our heart, the moment that we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and the Holy Spirit comes in and lives inside of us, we are transferred. Our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and we move our residency. Our citizenship is no longer in Georgia in the United States. Our citizenship at that point becomes heaven. And all of this is temporal at that point. Now look, we want a lot of stuff and a lot of stuff comes our way. And a lot of stuff will pass through our hands. There will be winners and losers in that. Have you ever lost money? I've lost money. Have you ever gained something that you shouldn't have gotten? I've had that. I've been gifted stuff before that shouldn't have been gifted to me. So we have received and we have lost. We have received and lost in equity of whatever it is. We have received and lost of in time. Have we ever frittered away the days that we've been given? Yeah, we sure have. But have we had some of the most useful days and most plentiful days in our life that we can remember where God used us mightily moment after moment after moment? There have been full days and there have been empty days. And see, we realize and we see this in our mind and we think about it and we draw upon it, but we're incomplete. We're not finished. And our job here, as long as there is breath in our body, is for us to continue on. And this is what Paul exhorts us to. He says, I have not laid hold of it yet, but Christ Jesus has already laid hold of it. And brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. The last thing I want you to see is that we are in progress and we are in pursuit. So we're not in possession of that which is our home. We are incomplete because we have not finished our race yet, but we are in pursuit of what God wants us to have. God has a plan. He is working that out in our lives. As he works that out in our lives, that we are to progress. And when he's going to get this in the second part of what we taught this morning, our life is not stagnant. There is no such thing in a Christian life as status quo. We cannot get into such a routine that we just get up on Sunday mornings and then we get dressed and we come to church and we go throughout our week, every single solitary week, the same way. And just as life pulls back into a routine and we are comfortable with that because school's back in and all this stuff's going back on and it fits back into our life and our profile of the way that we want it to go so that nothing upsets us and there's no disturbances and there's no adversity and it, just all this stuff. The reality of it is it lulls us into sleep. Our life is to move forward. We are to progress in our faith, and we're not to stop until we have finished the race that is set before us. Paul says in other places and in other letters, he says, we're to run a race as to receive the prize. You don't just go run a race just to run the race. You compete in that, and we've taken competition out of what goes on in our culture so that everybody wins, right? Yeah. Everybody doesn't win. We're to compete as to run the race. In other words, you have a job to do. You have a plan that God has laid out for your life. And as long as there is breath in your body, you're to work at that. He says this over and over. You are not to be slothful. You're to be a worker. And so as we work at our faith, as we work at our walk, we are making progress. We are in pursuit of what God has for us. Every single one of us. There are some things that he has for us together. There are some things that he has for us individually. There are some things that he has for us as a family. There are some things that he has for us as a couple. But on all of those goals and in all of those pursuits, our job is to move out and go and do that. and not to be stagnant, not to be status quo. Look at these other passages. This is John 19:30. It says, therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. Everybody thought that that was what? That was the end of this. But it really wasn't the end of this. It was actually the step into the new phase of spirituality and what the church was to become. Because through Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, then there was a newness of life that was given to us. And in that newness of life and who we are when we accept Christ, then we become a new creature is what Scripture says. Not only do we become a new creature, but in Acts, that was the formation of the church. We become a new creature and we become part of the body of Christ. And it says that we are being fitted and built together into a heavenly church, into a heavenly building that God is preparing. He is placing us together. There's no one here by chance today. And there's no one here by chance as a part of this congregation. We are being fitted together by God. Why? For a purpose. Do we understand and know every single bit of that? No. Can we see parts and pieces of it? Yes. Our job is to take what we see and to move forward on those. And that we do that together collectively, like we talked about a couple of weeks ago, and then, or actually last week we were talking about communion, how we're all individuals, but we're collectively part of this body, which unites us. Our job is our job. So go and fulfill that. Christ Jesus' job was to come and to die on the cross so that you and I might be able to have a relationship eternally with the Father in heaven. And then 2 Timothy 2:15 through 18. Oh, this is a great passage. Be diligent. Does anybody know what diligence means? What does diligence mean? What? Well, I'm sorry, I couldn't hear. Getting after it, right? Not quitting. That's right. It means to get after it and to go be about what we're supposed to be doing. To be diligent about something is to know that there's something out there before us and we're earnestly seeking after that. That's that in pursuit part that we're talking about. He says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, who accurately handles the word of truth. Do we know what we believe? Do you know what it says? If someone comes up to you in college and challenges your faith, are you going to be able to stand up and say, hey, this is what this really says. This is what this means. You're taking this out of context. This is out of perspective. No, that's not truth. That's not what God's word says. That may be what your Bible says, but that's not God's word. And so we don't know how to do that. We don't know how to defend our faith. It's actually called apologetics, but we're not apologizing. It means to make a case for. It means to stand up for. So we're a workman who does not need to be ashamed, but accurately handling the word of truth, but avoiding worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness. Okay, I'm going to stop right here for just a second. This was actually pretty funny. So we went and saw a movie yesterday afternoon, tomorrow and I did. We went and saw Dunkirk. And so we're sitting there in Dunkirk, and then Al Gore comes on. Al Gore's got a new movie coming out. You know, he had the untruth or whatever he called it, you know, a few years back when he was talking about all this stuff with global warming. Okay, so he puts out all this stuff for global warming. It was really a funny commercial because the way he tied some things in, it was just ludicrous. But actually, at the end of the commercial, this older guy stood up and said, that was a lie. We will not be going to see that movie. And me and Tamara were sitting there, we were going, wow, that was amazing. So they had this commercial for the movie, and the dude goes, that was a lie. We're not going to go see that one, Mike, right? So what? He knew something to be truth, right? And he stood up for it at that moment. He could not let himself be restrained. When he saw something else that was coming out that was counter to that, he stood up for it. Now, I want you to think about this in culture and society today. We've been backed into a corner in our faith. We've been told we can't say anything to anybody at any point in time, anywhere, to say something about what is not culturally accepted about this time is to be, you know, just, we're all kinds of things. I'm not even going to use all those words. We're bigots. We're everything else in the world. We're all this bad stuff. But the truth is what we're just trying to stand up for what God's word says is truth, right? And one day they'll probably... It could get bad for us for that. It got bad for Paul. Paul spent a lot of time in jail to stand up for the truth. and to speak the truth in front of people who did not believe. Are we prepared for that? We need to be a workman, approved, knowing what the Word of God says, ready to stand up for that. And he says, we need to avoid the worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness. Their talk will spread like gangrene. What do you do when gangrene gets in your body? Cut it off. You cut it out. All right? Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who have gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place, and they upset the faith of some. So guys, the first part of this and the first thing we need to know for pressing on is that we're not finished. We're not in possession. We're incomplete, but we're to be in pursuit. The second thing he says is the second part of verse 13 and then verse 14. He says, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This has really been on my mind. Well, I'll get to it in a second, but I just want to let you know. This is on my mind about Mount Salem Baptist Church. Okay? And the reason is look, we've got 200 years, almost 200 years, 199 years of history. And that is awesome. And that is a part of who we are. It is the identity that makes us up. But there's been some good stuff in there, and George has told me some bad stuff. All right? George told me one time about coming to a business meeting and the preacher was going to bring up something, but it had nothing to do with him. But by the end of the business meeting, he was fired, wasn't he, George? All right, yeah. That's not going to happen Wednesday night. I'm going to keep my mouth shut, all right? I'm not bringing up anything, all right? So he brought up something, and next thing you know, he was being voted out, all right? Being voted out here. It was a difficult day for him. But, you know, the reality is that we think things are going to go one way, and sometimes they go the other. And when they go the other way, we let them determine what happens to us going forward because we look back and we say, that was a bad experience. We're not going back there and do that again. People leave church because of that. People leave their faith because of that. They lay it down. They remove themselves out and they sit on the sidelines thinking by sitting on the sidelines that they'll be able to correct all of this. You cannot be in neutral with God. Paul's just said that. We need to be what? We need to be on the move. But then he says this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Our focus should be ahead. You cannot, Jesus said, if anyone puts his hand to the plow and looks back, he's not fit for the kingdom of heaven. You cannot go forward looking back. All right. What did he tell Lot's wife? Don't look back. Sodom and Gomorrah, you had all this stuff that you wanted. Don't look back at that. Just leave it all behind and move forward. What'd she do? She looked back. We cannot look back and think that that is a determinant of where we're going. Our job is to move ahead. And to move forward is what Paul says. So we need to not only move ahead, we need to advance. To forward means to go in a direction. That direction is what? To advance, to move forward. Then he says this later on. He says, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We need to ascend. It is time for Mount Salem to climb. That means we have to move forward, but it also means that we have to move what? Upward. How many of you feel like climbing stairs right now? How many of you want to leave here and let's go climb Stone Mountain? That's what you want to do this afternoon. All right? That'd be a great afternoon for you. The younger ones over here are going, let's do it, Pastor Tim. Some of you are going, I'm taking that what is that thing, that tram up there. You know, I ain't walking none of that. I'll pay $17.50. It really doesn't matter as long as it gets me up to the top. See, it's the climb. It's the climb that gets us. We need to move forward, but that also means we need to ascend upward. So we're going directionally. God has a direction for us, but there's an ascension part of this. We're trying to move forward, but we're also to the upward call of Christ Jesus. Climbing steps is not what we think about when we want to move forward. Because the climbing part of it really takes it out of us. So not only do we need to move forward and we need to move up, we need to advance in our faith, but that is an ascension. we're getting closer to home. And as we get closer to home, we need to realize that as we move upward, God is not only advancing us in who we are, but he's drawing us closer to him. How many times in the Old Testament did you see this? Moses, go up on this mountain so that I can talk with you. Elijah, go up on this mountain so I can talk with you. Joshua, go up on this mountain so I can talk with you. Why can't you talk with me right here? Why can't I just stay right here and you talk to me? No, Moses, go up on this mountain and I'll give you these Ten Commandments. Our job is to put forth the effort, and we have to ascend and go up to those high places to meet the Lord. This is who we are. This is what he's calling us to. We need to forget that which lies behind, good and bad. And we need to press on, reaching forward to what lies ahead, towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Luke 9, I'm going to give you verse 51 and then verse 62. This is really neat. You need to go. Now, let me tell you this before I give this to you. Luke tells us in the Gospel of Luke that he's trying to write an orderly account. So not only is Luke trying to tell us what happened in the time that Jesus Christ was on the earth, he's writing it in an orderly account of what happened. John doesn't tell us that. That's why when you have the seven I am, sometimes you're going forward and backwards. We were trying to watch this movie yesterday afternoon, Dunkirk. If you ever go, I'm not going to tell you how it ends. Just kidding. All right. Yes, it's already happened. Yeah, follow me. All right. So they kept going forward and backwards, but they never told you that they were going forward and backwards. So one time there's a scene in the day, and the next time that there was a scene at the night, and I was going, what happened? And then the next time there's a scene back in the day, and I was like, what are they doing? And it took me a few minutes to try to keep up because they were going backwards and forward, and they weren't telling you that they were going backwards and forward. All right. So when the days that Luke is writing this as an orderly account. All right. So he's trying to tell you this is what's going on in the order. John is not doing that. John goes backwards and forwards, backwards and forwards. And we get that mixed up a lot. All right. So when the days were approaching for his ascension, he was determined to go to Jerusalem. And in verse 51, how many of y'all's Bible translation says he resolutely set his face towards Jerusalem? Does anybody's Bible says that? Maybe it's in a King James. What translation you got, Marilyn? Is that New King James? New American Standard. He resolutely set his mind to go to Jerusalem. From this point forward in the book of Luke, everything that Jesus is doing is headed to the cross. From Luke 9:51 in the Gospel of Luke, all the way to the end, Jesus Christ is headed to the cross. And it not only that, it says that he was determined or resolutely set his face to the cross. He was there and nobody was going to stop him. He was pressing forward to what lies ahead, getting ready for his ascension, which means he had to climb. He had to climb a mountain and carry a what? Cross. To go and do what? Climb up on that so that he might die. Sometimes we don't like the end of that climb, but we got to make that climb. We need to stay focused, ahead, advance, so that we can ascend. And then in verse 62, it says this, but Jesus said to him, no one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of heaven. So he goes on to tell him what he's going to do, and then he goes from that point on and what? Does it. He does it. That's what God is calling for us to do. This is who we are as a people. This is where Mount Salem is. I really feel like this. Because we can look back and say, 200-year party, woo-hoo-hoo. You know, let's go dig up that time capsule. Let's see what it was like 25 years ago. That's going to be awesome. That will be a great day, and we're going to celebrate that. But what happens on 200 and day one? Go back home. No, man. We got to go forward. And it may be a hard climb. The degree of difficulty may be laborious. If you go up to, what is it? Is it called Brasstown Bald? Over in Georgia, Highest Peak in Georgia. Right? Have any of you ever tried to drive up to that? Do you, any of you have a car that will not make it up that? That's a great degree. We got in a car one time. It was a van that was older, and we wanted to go to Brasstown Ball, and we started up, and we were like, I don't think we're going to make it. I don't think our car can make it up here. We did. We eventually geared her on down, and she made it all the way to the top. And when we got up there, when you get up on top of Brasstown Ball, what can you see? Yeah, like four or five different states, isn't it? From standing on that point right there, if you look directionally in all these places, they say that you can see like four or five different states. It's a neat experience. Getting there was not fun at all. Because at one point, not only is the car drive hard, but you got to get out of the car and you got to keep on climbing. But when you get up there, you can see so much stuff. You can see, you can look back and see where you've come from. And then you can look out and see possibly where you're going. The problem for most of us is that we look over and we say, there's another mountain over there. And we may have to climb a little bit higher. So we go back down, and then we got to start it all over again. This kind of stuff wears on us. Why do you think God gives us only what we can handle for the moment in which we can handle it? If some of you knew in your 20s and 30s what you were going to have to deal with in your 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s, what would you have done?
Run.
We'd have thrown up our hands, wouldn't we? Miss Jane, now you've been through a lot, haven't you?
Yes, sir.
You have. Our journey sometimes can be difficult, dealing with things that we don't want to deal with. But it's our journey. It's what God has given to us. The adversity that we go through is to, like Peter says, putting the flame to the metal, so that when you heat it up, it just gets what? Purer and purer and purer and purer. It gets hotter and hotter and hotter. We are ascending. We are moving forward. We are climbing to the upward call of what Christ Jesus has laid on the heart for every single one of us. We can look back and we can say, I remember the day. But the truth for us is what lies ahead. And when we finish this race, when God calls us home and our name is on that book and we ascend into heaven spiritually and we are with the Father, it's all good. Amen? Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Father, I thank you so much for who you are. I thank you for the blessings which you bestowed upon each one of us, the gifts which you've given to us. Father, the grace which you have just laid on our lives, the mercy which you've shown towards us in our times, Father, when we have backslidden or have been far away from you. Father, we pray right now for the things that we need to move forward in our lives. Lord, prepare us, prepare our hearts, prepare our minds, prepare us physically for the days which lie ahead. Father, we may be getting shorter of breath, but we are getting closer to home. And Father, I pray that you will renew in our spirits a steadfast love for you and a steadfast love for what we are called to as followers in Christ. Strengthen us. Prepare us. Hold us up. Lay out before us so that we can easily see where you would have us to go. And then, Lord, send us. Send us there. Lord, it's these things that we ask for. It's these things that we pray for in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen.